Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, speaker, best-selling author, and certified transformational health coach. Today we're going to do a quick recap on the show we did on October 3rd with Nellie Williams Thompson, and talk about the IRS and the things we need to know to do and not to do. And then we're going to finish that episode with the last few questions we didn't do last time. So just a quick note on her bio. She's actually an IRS insider and a former IRS audit supervisor. She has a heart of for the small business owner. Nellie has helped entrepreneurs, coaches, and small business owners pay their lowest legal tax and still sleep at night for over 35 years. That means she's done it all legally and really well. She's an enrolled agent, a graduate fellow of the National Association of Enrolled Agents, National Tax Practice Institute, and much more. Her goal is to share all of her insider secrets on how to protect yourself and avoid an IRS tax audit with as many entrepreneurs and small business owners as possible. For more information about Nellie, you can go to the episode that we had on 10/3/2019, 5 weeks ago, and visit her or visit her at http://www.bulletproofyourtaxes.com. So this is just a quick intro because I want Nellie to share. And right now I'm going to ask Nellie to come on and kind of go over the questions we have talked about on the 3rd of October. Nellie, first of all, thank you so much for being back on with me. It's such a pleasure and an honor to have you on the show with me.
Thank you, Denise. It's my delight, and I'm happy to speak with you and your group.
Oh, thank you so much. So I'm going to just jump to the questions. You know, you kind of know what we did talk about. And I would like you in about maybe 5-10 minutes or so to kind of recap those 12 questions. If it takes a little bit longer, that's fine. And you can go in the sequence that you choose, because if people want to know exactly what it's all about, they can go back to October 3rd and listen to that show also. So I'm going to turn it over for you for a little bit to do the recap.
Great. Now, I'm not sure that I have the same list of questions as far as what was 1, 2, 3, but people wonder, why did I even go to work for the IRS? What possessed me to work for them? And so I just say it was an accident that gave me my purpose. And I was with the IRS for 5 years, and that allowed me to become an enrolled agent. And as my five-year length of experience was coming up, I remembered learning during my training that another person training also to become an auditor said, if you work for the government for more than 5 years, they'll have you for life. And that sounded like a long-term sentence to me. But it's because you get used to the benefits of a federal job with, you know, sick leave, vacation, annual increases. So I did not want to be with them forever, and I had been able to promote up to manager of a tax audit group. I was a supervisor. And so that said, okay, it's time to start my own business, to do the tax return preparation that people need. And the reason that I say that is because if the IRS is choosing your tax return to be audited, they immediately deem you guilty until you prove yourself innocent. And how are you going to prove yourself innocent if you have thrown away all the records you needed? And I say that because when I was a younger person and filing my own tax return, as soon as I got my refund, I thought for sure the IRS would have looked at my tax return before they sent me my refund, which was totally false. And so I threw away my stuff. I kept a copy of the return, but I threw away all the receipts and all the records, and that was a big mistake because the IRS has 3 years' time to look at your tax return, and that's 3 years from the time you file it. So if you file it before April 15th, they're going to use the April 15th date to add 3 years' time to go back and look at that return. And if you file it after April 15th, then it's the date of filing that they'll add 3 years to. And if you never file your return and you're supposed to, then this, it's called the statute of limitations. The statute of limitations does not begin until you file your return, and if you've never filed it, you haven't even started the clock. And also then, we're getting into a new topic, but the states have an additional year. So I was stupid and I'd thrown away all my records. And what we talked about earlier was that categorizing your receipts is critical. You cannot dump a box of paper on my desk and say, here's my tax stuff, Nellie. What do you think? or to the auditor. Now, the IRS used to have person-to-person audits, but most of these office examinations have turned into correspondence examinations, which personally I hate, because what can you communicate in a letter? You can't communicate emotion. They don't always interpret. I mean, write, think of yourself writing a letter to somebody. It's misinterpreted. So I want to have the face-to-face. So
I'm
how's
sorry
that for
that
a
I
recap?
Interject there. Yeah, I just need to say something. This is so vital, what you just said. Because
thank you.
I have written a letter to somebody, and they heard what they wanted to hear or read what
exactly.
They wanted to read, and not what my intent was. And therefore, having people on the phone or on a Zoom call or something where you can see them, you can see the reactions, you can clarify if there's any questions, that is so much more useful to me, because I'm not writing too many letters anymore just because of those things. I just want to talk to the people in real life. And you just stressed that, so I'm really, really glad you did. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Please go on. Thank you, Denise. Well, being on a phone call is important, but I will tell you that, you know, the IRS has a toll-free line where you can call up questions. Is it toll-free? I don't remember. Probably not. We've got to pay for the call because the government doesn't have the money. And the IRS is the only governmental agency that brings money in for all of the other branches of government to spend. So when the IRS is choosing your return for an audit, it's because they expect to find something wrong. Why would they waste their time otherwise? But just because you're chosen for an audit does not automatically mean you're going to pay more tax. Most of the time you will. But there are times when you don't have to pay any more tax. They call that a no change. And sometimes you've held back on deductions you could have claimed just in case, so they issue you a refund. Well, if you're holding back on things that you could claim as a deduction, for how many years are you giving away, you know, little bits of dollars that over time add up? So I say don't do that. Claim everything you're entitled to, and be sure you report all of the income that you must, because every dollar is taxable unless the government says it's excludable, and nothing is deductible except that which the government says is allowable. So this past 2018 was the last year that we filed as of this interview. And in 2018, we had the most tax law changes in over 30 years. It was incredible. Many of them positive, some of them not so. And my job for my tax clients is not to make you the tax guru, but to make you the record-keeping guru, because you're the one that knows how you spent your money. You're the one who knows how you earned your money, and it's my job to work with you as your agent. I'm an enrolled agent, and we'll talk about that in a minute. It's my job to work with you as your agent to make sure that you're taking every advantage you're entitled to, because there's nothing wrong with paying your lowest legal tax. It's your responsibility.
No, I think...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So when you telephone to ask a question of the IRS, 75% of the time, the answer is going to be wrong. One, because of miscommunication. You haven't asked the full question. You've left little pieces that are important out. Or two, the person on the other end isn't as knowledgeable as you need them to be to give you the right answer. But people are people, and sometimes they do the best they can, and sometimes they just want to get the day over with and collect their check. we're all individuals.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, I have another question in regards to that. Does the IRS also employ people from other countries who live in the U.S. but have more of an accent than I do or something, so they're really hard to understand?
Well,
or are
America
they all
is the
U.S. citizens?
America is the melting pot, and people come legally to live here from everywhere in the world because I think we're the greatest country there is. We have the most opportunity. We have the most, you know, we're a fabulous country, and it was formed by people who didn't want to continue to live under the rule of the English monarchy. So we
mm-hmm.
are a bunch of entrepreneurs ever from the beginning, even the revolutionaries. They had their own businesses. They had to make money so they could survive. We're all in life to live a good life and to survive. So yes, we're going to have American citizens who have accents. Now the IRS doesn't, if they talked about it before, I don't believe they're doing it now. Everything here with the Internal Revenue Service is done in America. Although we have offices worldwide, and I can, as an enrolled agent, I am enrolled with the government to act as your agent to represent you at any level of the Internal Revenue Service. Anywhere in the world, they have an office. Now, I don't have too many foreign clients anymore because they've moved back to their home countries. Their work here was completed. And I'm not looking to have you pay for my travel so I can go to Paris, France, and represent you in an audit there. Although, you know, that would be lucrative. Yeah.
Nice.
But it's not what I want to do. Anywhere I can represent you here from my home base of Phoenix, Arizona, and deal with the IRS all over the country on your behalf. So that is very powerful. Now, so the IRS wants to know, have you paid your true tax? And if you have, that's great. That means on April 15th, you can look in the mirror and say, I was honest. I was honest with myself. I was honest with my government. I feel good about myself. No stress. And Denise, you are all about minimizing stress for a healthy
yes.
body, healthy mind. Well, there's nothing
mm-hmm.
more stressful than getting a letter from the IRS, and they don't time it when it's convenient for you. You might have lots of plates spinning on sticks that are going to come tumbling down because you have to neglect those responsibilities to deal with this IRS audit. It's not happy time. Even if you have everything to provide them, it's still a pain in the neck, in my opinion. but it's what we have to deal with. Yeah. So we talked a little bit about statute of limitations, and I want to go back to the state's part of the statute of limitations. While the federal is 3 years from the date you filed, Arizona tacks on an additional year, and California, I think, is the longest of all the states. They tack on an additional 2 years. And so let me be clear, when you file your return on April 15th, and let's say of 2019, it's for your 2018 tax return. So you want to keep the 2018 records that are important for that tax return for at least 3 years from the date it was filed. Well, April 15th of 19, add 3, we get 22, right? 2022.
Mm-hmm.
For you to keep things that you spent your money on in 2018. So that's really, if you do the math, it's 18 to 19, 20, 21, 22. That's 4 years. Even though it's a 3-year federal statute, it's 4 years for you to keep your records. So that's why when they say keep your stuff for 7 years, that's generally coming from somebody in California wanting to protect you for the Franchise Tax Board in California. That in Arizona, we have the Arizona Department of Revenue. In California, you've got the Franchise Tax Board of California. And we're all dealing with the Internal Revenue Service and money in and money out. So depending on what state you're in, you want to have everything that's important. Now, I want to say, if you are proud to be a tax cheat and you're defrauding the government, in the case of fraud, there is no statute of limitations. They can go back and audit you forever. And that's why I encourage my clients to keep their copy of their tax return that they filed forever, because the IRS is not going to be able to go back and find everything that you want them to find that you filed, because they've got warehouses all across the land to store these records. How many people do we have in the country? You know, how many million people do we have living in the United States? I don't have any idea. I'm just putting it out there.
I think it's 7.3 million.
Okay. And let's say that two-thirds have a requirement to file a tax return. So if we have 7.3 times 0.67, that's 5 million tax returns a year. Well, they've done a lot electronically now. And so I was one of the early electronic filers. And I'm proud to say that. And my colleague said, why do you want to do the work for the government? I said, we're doing the work for ourselves. You're saving a lot of paper and postage and time. And they finally were forced to get on board. So that's the way things go, that we're forced into it whether we want to or not, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So this tax year has been unique for me in Arizona, because Arizona made changes also, and the state Department of Revenue said, please, we're not finished with all of our changes, but file your return now anyway before April 15th. If there's a change going to happen, we'll file a correction notice for you. And I put my foot down and I said, no, if you're going to make a change, I want to know the change first, then I'll file Arizona. So I extended my own workload for this year until October, just because I couldn't finish everything before then. I have enough clients that I did all the federal early, then I did all the Arizona. It was my own personal nightmare, but Arizona never did get their act together and get things changed for 2018 any more than what we already had in place.
Wow.
And every state had to deal with, are we going to comply with the federal tax law changes? And every year, every state does the same thing. So I just want you all to know that you don't have to go this alone. And I would like to mention that I have a book published called Your Amazing Itty Bitty Tax Audit Prevention Book, 15 Essential Steps to Keep You from Being Audited. And that's available on Amazon. It's a number one bestseller, and I'm very proud of it. It's a simple read. It is about 30-some-odd pages, 36 pages, with a book and a little color cover. And I would encourage anybody, it's very nominal price, less than $10 with shipping. So Your Amazing Itty Bitty Tax Audit Prevention Book, 15 Essential Steps to Keep from Being Audited, on Amazon. What else can I answer for
you,
Denise?
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that can help people to be aware of it.
Exactly.
Because there is so much that I call ourselves the commoners, the ones who are filing the taxes or have to file, but don't have the knowledge that you have or that my CPA has as an enrolled agent and stuff. You guys can help us so much more than we could ever figure out for ourselves. And so by having a little bit more info, and those books are so easy to read, that it's definitely worth it. I recommend that everybody go on Amazon.com and purchase that book. And if you don't remember the title, just go to Itty Bitty Books and you'll see it there, or put Nellie's name in there. Nellie, is it under Nellie Thompson Williams or Williams Thompson?
Yeah. It's Nellie T. Williams. And Denise, reason I was drawn to you is that my maiden name is Thompson, just like your married name is Thompson, and it's spelled the same, and I wanted to know what was our connection with our last names there. So that was fabulous.
Oh, so you are a dry Thompson, because I've seen it.
I am, yes, no P.
Oh my gosh, so that's Scottish background.
And my father was a full-blooded Scot.
He was?
Yes, 100%. My father was 100%
parents
Scottish.
Were full-blown Scottish, yeah.
Yep.
So they actually went out of Scotland because my father-in-law's father was from the Highlands, and his wife, my father-in-law's mother, was from the Lowlands, and they were not allowed to get married. So they came over to the U.S. where they could get married, because the history was different. And so that's where the name came from. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, so we are the land of multiple opportunities, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you can marry the love of your life, and you can build the business of your life, and just have a good life. So.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So, wow, that is amazing. I'm so glad you said that.
Thank
All
you.
All right, let me see. Okay. So state extensions are necessary if federal federal is filed, okay? Well, I don't know. Do you know anything about that? How does that work with the extensions? Can you file federal and state extensions, or just one or the other, or is it always both?
Well, I will tell you from my own experience from this past year, I have always done a federal extension that allows the state extension to be piggybacked to it, so that if you file the federal extension, it includes the filing of the state extension also. But that's electronically, mm-hmm. without I'm doing for my clients. Mm-hmm. But this year, I could file a federal extension for both the federal and the state. I could file the federal tax return and extend the state. I don't think, because the state returns start from the reporting on the federal return, I don't think you can file the state return without filing the federal return first.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you could file the federal and you could extend the state, or you could extend both the federal and the state.
See, and there is ignorance, because I just tell my CPA, I'm not ready yet. You deal with it. File whatever you need to file, because I don't know what I'm doing. And so he does the filing for me, and then he tells me what's going on. And that makes it easier for me, but not everybody is as lucky as I am, or has you as an agent who knows what's going on. So I think we need to make sure we promote the tax accountants, the CPAs, or the ones who are actually enrolled agents more so, because they know the little back doors. They know what can be done and what cannot be done. And that's for our safety and everybody else's. And we don't waste money and time, because it's done right the first time.
Exactly.
Right or wrong.
I think so, because that's my business, and we have specialized knowledge, and as a former auditor, I have even more specialized knowledge what the auditor, what the IRS is looking for and how to keep you out of the soup. So I would like to offer my email address if anybody would want to email me. I'm at Nellie, N-E-L-L-I-E, at bulletproofyourtaxes.com. So once again, Nellie, N-E-L-L-I-E, at bulletproofyourtaxes.com. That's all one long word, four words put together, but it says it all.
Okay. And the website is the same address except with www. In front of it, correct? And then
that's
it's bulletproofyourtaxes.com.
Yeah. Correct.
So that's awesome. And then you're offering, of course, always a free gift again. And that was, what did you do last time? You can do the same. Oh, it was a conversation that they can talk to you for a few minutes or something?
Yeah, they can email me and say, you know, I would love to have a short conversation with you over the phone, and leave their information, and I'll call them back, or I'll email them back. So, and then if we decide that there's something I can do to help them, we can decide to work together or not. But certainly ask a question.
That's great. I actually just remember one question that I had when you were talking about the receipts and stuff. And that's something old I was told, and I don't know if that's still necessary or not, that every receipt I want to actually claim as a deduction, like when I go out to lunch with clients and I pay for it, then I write client lunch on the receipt before I put it in my file. Is that the way it's still done, or has something changed there?
If you're working for someone else, employee business expenses are not currently deductible.
No,
but
for me, myself,
when you have when you have your own business, then you still do have promotion and marketing and client entertainment. You, in order to be able to document that this is client entertainment, you need to write the name of the client, what was discussed, and generally, if the restaurant hasn't printed on it, you need the date of the meal and the restaurant name, and then you're covered. Now the meal for yourself is not deductible, but you're going to let your preparer take the full amount of the meal, and they're going to apply a 50% elimination on that deduction to put it on the tax return. So give him all of your entertainment expenses, meals and entertainment it's called, and he'll do the math on the 50% that's deductible, because sometimes you're going to have 100% deductible meals, and that would be when you're hosting an event at your office where you're having, like an annual get-together for your clients, or a special meeting where everybody has to attend. We can dream up lots of things, but we want to take what's legitimate, and we want to be able to defend our positions. That's what it's all about, proving yourself innocent. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and that's, as we talked last time, It's the opposite from the court. There, you're innocent until proven guilty. And with the IRS, you're guilty until proven innocent.
Exactly. And it's so wrong.
Wow.
So reversed. Yeah.
I don't get it. I mean, honestly, I don't know where they're coming from with this, because they're not just wasting their time and their employees' time and things that they could do. They're also wasting our time, and the frustration grows instead of being eliminated. That's why I'm so heavy duty on stress reduction. Let's do everything right from the beginning on, because then we have a good conscience and we don't need to worry about everything. And if they find something, we can say, well, honestly, I did the very best I could. Let's see what I need to do to make sure that they understand that I can provide them with the rest of the information.
Well, and I think that's where you and I and our clients want to be, in that park. But there are a lot of people, Denise, that really don't care about paying any tax or paying, you know, they want to cheat any way they can. And I bump into them all the time. And so those are the people that the IRS is out to call in and say, look, you know, show us what you have. Show us why this is allowable. Show us why you think you should keep this deduction, because they've inflated their deductions. They've deflated their income that they're reporting. And it makes me very angry, because you and I are paying their tax,
mm-hmm.
the deadbeat's tax. So it's unfortunate that it goes on.
Yeah, actually, just something else popped in my head. I know of someone who was married to a different person, of course, obviously, who was trying to evade tax paying. And in between, this person passed away. How long and how seriously is that affecting the person who's left behind, who didn't have anything to do with it, was not her business, was not, you know, nothing like that? She claimed her own stuff, but he did not claim anything, and he tried tax defraud for so long. And now she is actually in trouble and receives messages constantly that if she doesn't provide this or that, she has no clue where to go and get it or what's going on, because it was all done behind her back. So what is happening there?
She needs to find someone in her local area to represent her, and there's something called innocent spouse provision. So she needs to show that she didn't have any knowledge, she didn't benefit from this income that wasn't reported. But if she's living in a nicer house or driving a nicer
Mm-mm.
car or
trailer,
you know, eating in finer restaurants,
yeah.
There, you know, so she could be benefiting without even realizing how it wasn't reported. But
wow.
She's going to need a representative in her area to go to bat
okay.
for her.
So she would have to go and find, like, is that a tax accountant or is that a federal agent, or what does she need to find?
I would encourage her to find an enrolled agent. Enrolled
okay.
agent.
Got it.
They no longer work for the IRS, but they are enrolled. They have tax knowledge, and some are
mm-hmm.
some are better at examination, some are better at collection, some are better at going to tax court. There's all sorts
mm-hmm.
of levels of dealing with the IRS.
Well, that's good, because it kind of stinks when the ones left behind who had no knowledge of anything get penalized for stuff that their spouse did. I am so blessed that mine is on top of everything, and he won't allow any. He feels like we earn the money, we pay the taxes, period. Whether we like
That's
it
good.
Or not, it's our civic duty to do so. And I don't have to worry about that, but other people do.
We all benefit from the taxes that are being paid in the benefits we get for living here in this country. Like, you know, we've got roads that are repaired. Maybe your roads need more repair, but we've got lots of things that are done for us that we don't always recognize. So my clients who want to balk about having to pay tax, I don't want to pay tax because I don't want to pay for this or I don't want to pay for that. So I just say, listen, just think about your money going where you want it to go and put your part of the taxes towards that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, because there's so many agencies. It could be the Park Service. It could be the military service. It could be the postal service. That postal is now a private business, but they're still delivering the mail on a countrywide basis.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of argument for and against any position, and that's called debate. So I don't want to do that today.
Yeah. Wow. That's kind of. Anything else you want to add to what you think that people need to know to get ready? Because as we said, in 55 days is January 1st, 2020. And then we only have 3.5 months to get ready for the taxes. So it's better to start now and get things organized. So that's not going to be as painful of a process as it can actually drag out to be. So anything else you want to add?
I want to encourage people to do the best they can for 2019, but especially for 2020, start early by collecting your tax-related records. If you don't have somebody that's going to take care of it monthly, stick it in a box. And then at the end of the year, you have everything that's tax-related in a box. You can sort it out into different piles, and you're a lot better shape. And you can even file before April 15th, because if you're going to use the services of a professional, I can't. Anybody who's not in by March 31st, they're on extension, because we can't do it all. We cannot. It's not possible. So.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, you just need to know. Do you have the necessary records? Do you know where they are? Can you put your fingers on them fast? And then save them. Save them for the amount of time you need. California, 7 years. Arizona, 6 years or 4 years. Keep them as long as you need to, as long as they're material for your tax defense. And keep your tax returns forever.
Okay. And what do you do when you get rid of your taxes, the ones that are over 7 years in California? I have been told don't shred them because the shreds can be put together. Just burn them. That's better. Because they can't just get the DNA out of it. Is that true?
Well, I have a cross-cut shredder, and I have bags of shredded returns for my clients that are beyond the statute, because I don't want to keep anything for the government longer than I have to for my clients.
Right.
I have so much that's in the shredder, it would be a nightmare for somebody to piece it together. But if you've got a strip shredder, somebody who that's their job is to paste all these little strips together, geez, the ways, that's just too much work for me. if you're in a location where you have burning privileges, sure, and it's just a little bag of paper, of course, burn it.
No, my shredder is actually little teeny tiny strips. They're very, very narrow and not very long. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's cross also, but my husband says, oh, I don't want you to shred it. We'll just burn it because then they cannot get it back together. Since we have his father's stuff, and I told you how that got drawn out and all that. So we're very cautious. Just trying to be as legal and as correct as possible for everything that has to do with life, actually, in general. It's not just taxes, but that's a way to start, because we have always younger people around. And if we set a bad example as the older generation, what are the younger ones going to learn and do?
Exactly.
And so,
When you tell a lie, you have to remember what lie did you tell to whom. When you tell the truth, it's the same thing every time. The truth is the same. It doesn't change. And it makes life so much easier.
All right. Anything else on your part?
No, nothing more on my part. But I want to make sure that the listeners are doing everything they can to keep the IRS off their back and out of their pocket. That's a training program that I offer. But it's all about staying out of trouble. Do the right thing.
Yes.
Lead a good
Absolutely.
Life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what we all want to, right? In general, we
right.
want to live a good life. So let's do that. And ending with this, we had Nellie T. Williams on the call with me here, and she's the enrolled agent who's been really shedding some light on what to do and what not to do for your taxes to be legit and to avoid auditing as much as possible. And my name is Denise Thompson. And if you are interested in attending or being a guest on my show, please email me at dythomson@gmail.com or voicemail or text me at 562-335-4956. And I said voicemail or text only. I will not answer the phone unless it's a scheduled call and I know who it is. And I offer also a free 30-minute health assessment gift to everybody who wants to know where they stand with their health, be it healthy body, healthy mind, or healthy finances. And I just want to make sure that you guys are taking care of the free gifts that you get, be it from Nellie or from myself or from anybody else who's on my show. Again, the most important thing is that we do something that gets us healthy, and just about any subject that we talk about can be related to that. Even with the IRS, if we do everything the correct way, we don't have to waste time, lose income, be stressed out, have to go to the doctor, be on medication, you name it. It's a catch-22. So let's do the right thing at the right time for the right reason and just really take this to heart. And if you have any questions, please email Nellie and let her know at Nellie, N-E-L-L-I-E, at bulletproofyourtaxes.com so she can give you the advice that you need or maybe work with you. Anyways, I wish you everybody a very, very happy, healthy, and empowered week. And let's start getting ready. In 3 weeks is Thanksgiving, and let's start those thoughts rolling on how we can be thankful and grateful for things that we do have. To everybody, a fabulous week, and we'll talk next week again. Thanks so much, and have a great one. Bye-bye.